evil spirits or unclean spirits do not like to be around the Lord, do they? If the Lord is near an unclean spirit, he flees, just like in this story in the Gospel of Mark, where the Lord cast out the unclean spirit from the man in the synagogue. So if evil spirits do not like to be near the Lord, how can we be near the Lord so the Lord can cast away evil spirits and influences from hell from us? Well, let's take a closer look at this story, and we'll see the progression of the story and how that teaches us to be able to be in the same position as the man in the synagogue with the unclean spirit, so the Lord can cast out those influences from us. Now, the story begins with the four disciples being called. Do you remember that? It was first Simon and Andrew, and then it was James and John. And they were all fishermen. They were using their nets to catch fish. James and John were mending their nets, it says. And the Lord was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And we can picture them out in their ships, working on trying to catch fish. But the Lord called out to them. And it seems from the Gospels that these disciples had probably heard about Jesus Christ being in the area. And a couple of them may even have met the Lord before. But on the shores of Galilee, the Lord calls out to them, "Come after me." He would have had to have called with some volume. They were out in their ships. And they look over and they see Jesus Christ on the shores. And they put down what they were doing and went and followed him. James and John, it says, left their father with the other workers on the ship, and they went and followed the Lord. They were very curious about learning more about what the Lord had to teach them. And then where did the Lord take them? Right away, where does it say they went next? It says the Lord took them to the synagogue and began teaching from the Word. He was teaching in the synagogue. Now, the synagogue is like a church in the Jewish religion where academic experts on the Word would teach. But the scribes who taught in the synagogue would cover up the truths of the Word with traditions of the time. So when the disciples heard the Lord speaking, do you remember what they said to each other as they marveled at what the Lord was saying? They said, "Who is this who speaks with authority, not as the scribes?" What the Lord was saying was very, very different than anything they had ever heard before. And they knew it. They could see that the Lord spoke with power. So what does it mean to speak with authority? When we think of someone speaking with authority, we know that that person knows what they're talking about. And that if we want to do something in the area that they're speaking about, we better pay attention because they know what they're talking about. Well, the Lord speaks with authority on every single subject that exists. The Lord knows what he is talking about. And the Lord speaks with power because he has that authority. He is the subject matter expert on everything. But what kind of power does that effectuate? It's the power of salvation. The authority that the Lord has in his word is the power to save us from evil spirits. Which is why what happened next in this story. Do you remember what happened next? The disciples recognized this man speaks with authority. And then what was the very next thing that happened in this story? Do you remember? The unclean spirit was cast out of the man in the synagogue. The Lord said, "Be speechless and leave him." And that spirit left. And he was a little bit upset. We can tell. He was confronted by the Lord, and the Lord said, "Be speechless and leave him." And he did. So how do we go through the same progression that the disciples went to? How do we hear the Lord calling us, follow him, and then allow him to cast out unclean spirits with us? Well, first of all, let's make sure we're clear that today, evil spirits, they can't possess us against our will the way they did when the Lord was on earth. They can't come into us and control our bodies and not leave when they're not invited. That can't happen. The Lord made sure when he came on earth that doesn't happen anymore. But evil spirits sure try to put ideas in our head that are false, that are untrue, and thoughts in our hearts that are evil and have bad intentions. They sure try to do that, don't they? And if we entertain those influences and invite them in, then we will need the Lord's help to get rid of them. So how do we hear the Lord calling out to us with a loud voice from the shores of Galilee as we're doing our daily job? Well, first, we need to have some familiarity with what the Lord teaches. And as a child, we learn from our parents at home about what the Lord teaches in the Word. And then we come to school, if you come here, and that teaching is supported in every classroom you go to, or you come to church on Sunday and you hear more about what the Lord has to teach from the Word. But that's not enough. That's a very good place to start. Like the disciples who'd heard about Jesus Christ and his teachings, but when he calls, we need to follow him into the synagogue. It means follow into the teachings of the church and listen carefully to what he says. And when we listen, as he's teaching, we'll begin to realize that what the Lord teaches has the power to change our lives. It has the authority to save us from the evil spirits. Once we make that recognition, then the Lord's power and authority can work through us to cast out unclean spirits. Now, how does that work? Well, consider the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the words of the Lord from Matthew chapter 6. If we say the Lord's Prayer, evil spirits can't be around us. They may try, but if we say the Lord's Prayer and think about every word that the Lord has in his prayer, think about the Lord as our Heavenly Father, evil spirits can't bother us. If we're struggling with a temptation, if we know that there are evil spirits trying to get us to believe something untrue is true, or trying to get us to think something harmful or mean is what we should be doing, let's figure out which one of the Ten Commandments they're trying to get us to violate, to break, and then say that commandment in our head and even say it out loud. Use the words of the Lord, his divine authority, his power to save us. Speak those words. And that will make those evil spirits flee, just like the Lord cast out that evil spirit from the man in the synagogue. Use the words that the Lord gives us because they have that power to change our lives. Or how about, one last example, how about if we're feeling fearful or afraid of something? What can we think about in the Word to help us remove those evil spirits' influence from us that are making us feel afraid? How about thinking of the Lord as our shepherd, the shepherd who protects his sheep? And we can say the 23rd Psalm. Or we could open up the Word to the 23rd Psalm and read the 23rd Psalm. And the comforting presence of the Lord as our shepherd will protect us, and those evil spirits will be cast out. Now, the heavenly doctrine explains the Lord's authority in this way as the power of salvation. In Apocalypse Explain, it says that the Lord has power over all things because he is God alone. But the salvation of the human race is the principal object of power, since for the sake of that, the heavens and the worlds were created. So this story of the disciples following the Lord after he called them, and then learning more from him in the synagogue, and then seeing the power of his saving authority, is here for us to be able to draw on the very same power, so the Lord can cast out evil influences from our minds and from our hearts. Now for the adults, an additional idea, an additional concept we can think about as we learn about the Lord teaching with authority in the synagogue. How do we hear the Lord speaking in the pages of his second coming in the heavenly doctrine with the same authoritative, saving, powerful voice? Consider this passage in the work Canons for the New Church. At this day, nothing else than the self-evidencing reason of love will re-establish the church. Nothing else than the self-evidencing reason of love. When we hear the Lord call us, come after me, and we go into the synagogue and enter more deeply into the mysteries of faith that are explained on every page and every sentence of the Lord's second coming, we'll see that he speaks authoritatively there, that he speaks with the power of salvation, the self-evidencing, self-authenticating reason of love. And it's a love for the salvation of the entire human race. The heavenly doctrine is the self-evidencing reason of love, as it says in canons for the new church. Now, this self-evidencing reason of love, it petrifies hell. The evil spirits do not want us to see it for what it is. Remember how the evil spirit reacted when the Lord confronted him in the synagogue. If we see this for what it is, they know we will use it to protect ourselves from them. And that's the last thing that they want. If we truly see the Lord's authority, his power to save us in every word of every sentence of every page of the heavenly doctrine, then as it says in heaven and hell, we will look to the Lord in all the good we think and do, and all the evil that flows in will be cast down to hell from which it comes. Just like the Lord cast out that unclean spirit in the Gospel of Mark. So look to the Lord in the words of his sacred scripture and understand them with the power of the internal sense of the word that he reveals in his second coming. And hell does not stand a chance. And as the disciples said when they listened to the Lord teach in the synagogue, we can go to the Lord in the second coming in the heavenly doctrine and respond just the same way, saying, "What new teaching is this? For with authority he orders even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Amen.